the critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Eryou.
We are your TV BFFs, and this is a podcast about the TV shows that people love most. And today, this is a podcast about our recent criteria, our current TV catch-up. Brandi, it's been a while since we had one of these. It's been since the summer. What have you been up to TV watching-wise since, you know, like July or so?
I have to say, I'm a little embarrassed, and I feel a little like I'm not doing my job because I have not been watching a lot of TV, if you can believe it. There have been a lot of extenuating circumstances. Like I moved recently. My last
big move.
Like it was after like flooding in my apartment. But now I live in like an amazing apartment. So everything's great.
Well, congrats on the move.
I know. Thank you so much. But because of that, I feel, and like then Optimum like totally like fucked up, like moving my cable over. And so none of my DVR was saved. And I had so much saved on my DVR. Like I am the person that clicks like never delete.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? It's like, I want all new episodes, never delete, always go 1 minute over. Because like Bravo will cut you off sometimes. It's really annoying.
Always 1 minute over. Always, always, always.
Yeah. So, but I have been watching some TV, but I feel like I haven't been watching as much as I would like to have been watching.
That's okay.
I'm really happy with the stuff that I have watched. So I'm excited to have this conversation.
Good. I'm a bit of the opposite. I have watched a bunch, although not as much as well. Although looking through my list, it's still like approaching 20-ish shows in the last
couple months. That's a lot.
Relatively, though, like, you know, some of them are still airing, some of them are finishing. So it's like, it's not like full shows.
Yeah, it's not like you sat down and watched like 20 seasons, like 8-episode seasons of every single show.
Right, right. Exactly. But there's been, you know, I mean, the TV, Tidal Wave TV, it's not stopping. It keeps crashing on the beach of our free time, and it's all we can do to keep up with it. So there's a ton to talk about. Let's get right into it. If this is your first current catch up, we do a couple bests, a couple favorites from recent shows. And then, because we can't really do it forever with recent stuff, we pick a couple future shows. So Brandi, you, like you said, you haven't watched a ton. So if you don't have a full two for each, that's totally fine. We'll just, you know, talk about what we have seen and what we've loved. So before we get into it, though, there are a couple glaring omissions from recent TV that I do want to bring up that may have been on my list, but we're going to table those conversations because they're going to come up in other episodes that are coming up soon. First is Better Call Saul, which ended since we last had one of these. Spoiler alert, it was fucking excellent. I absolutely loved it.
From start to finish.
From start to finish. That last season just absolutely fucking rocked. Mm-hmm. It would be on this list, but we're going to talk a lot more about it when we update our core BFF criterias in a couple weeks. I'm going to have a lot to say about it. It's in contention for best. We'll have to figure out if it's going to land, but we'll talk about Better Call Saul in detail on that episode coming up very soon. And then the other one, huge recent show, House of the Dragon, the Game of Thrones spinoff, which has been very much in the zeitgeist, you know, a little monoculture, but we are also doing a Game of Thrones series BFFs deep dive, kind of like we did with The Sopranos a few weeks back, with a couple former guests who both picked Game of Thrones. And on that episode, we get into House of the Dragon. So with the housekeeping dispensed, let's get into it. Brandi, do you have any almost shows? Anything that was close to your best or faves, but, you know, didn't quite make it, but you still watched and enjoyed?
Yeah, this was actually, this isn't a new show, but it's new to me. And it was a recommendation from a former guest of TV BFF. So this was in her criteria as a best show. And it was called Sort Of.
Oh, yeah.
And I watched the whole thing. And that's really, that's not saying a lot. It was, they were like 20 minute episodes and there was only 8 of them.
But still, you're known for the Brandi too, for you'll check it out. But this one stuck, which is cool.
Yeah, no, it did. It was, I really, really enjoyed it. But there were just some other things that like I enjoyed more. So I didn't put that down.
But shout out to Anna Breton, who had that on her list, and her episode's out now. So check that out if you haven't.
Yeah, she's got a lot. I actually took a lot of her recommendations. Also watched some of Los Espookies, and it's really hilarious.
Yeah, that's fun as hell.
I want to do some almost that, like, I just know that they probably would have been almost if I'd watched them, and I still do plan on watching them. Okay?
Okay, I dig it.
So for me, that is the Challenge docuseries.
That is on my almost. The Challenge Untold History documentary.
Yes.
Fucking awesome. Super nostalgic.
Okay.
Six-parter. It's on MTV.
I'm definitely watching it.
So fucking good.
Another one would be Interview with the Vampire, which is out now. It's on my DVR, and I'm really excited about watching it, and I really think that I'm going to like it. Right. I'm so excited that the Anne Rice like universe is like coming to our TVs via AMC. Like when I heard they were doing the Mayfair Witches, like I lost my shit. I love that series. It's so insane, the things that happen in these books. I cannot believe they are putting it on TV. It's so good. But anyway, I'm really excited to watch Interview with the Vampire. I just haven't yet, but I think I've got like four episodes like waiting for me. And so I will be getting into that.
Similarly, I have one that like I watched a couple and also may have been on this criteria if I'd gotten through it. But Brady, it's been a busy last month or so for both of us. Like some big shows for me, I really haven't been able to finish, not for lack of interest, but like Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power. I watched the first three, fucking love it. And then I had a vacation. I was out of town. I was traveling a bunch and it just kind of stacked up. And now I'm waiting for like the perfect Saturday to kind of get back into it. But it's been busy times. You know, yeah. We do the best we can.
Yeah. What are some of your almost shows? If we share the challenge.
Just a couple. Yeah. We share the challenge, Untold History. By the way, have you started the new season, Ride or Dies yet? Because I have mixed feelings so far.
Okay. I haven't started it yet. I really want to, like Moses and I always watch it together. And like, I just, guys, just so you know, I have two kids and like, they're a lot.
Literally. She says, as she's recording from the playroom right now.
As I'm recording from the playroom. Because the TV that I have been watching, like literally I've just been putting it on Discovery Plus. And shout out to my forever show, House Hunters. I just put on episodes of House Hunters, and on Discovery Plus, there's no commercials. It's the perfect way to watch House Hunters.
There you go. I love that. So the new season of The Challenge is airing now, Ride or Dies. First episode, not very good. Second episode, I thought, very good. I feel like it's going to be an up and down season. So we'll see how that goes. Also airing currently and recently, Atlanta, the final season, season four.
Which I feel like that didn't get marketed to me at all, and I didn't know that was happening.
And also the break between season three and four was very short. Like right? Normally we're okay. Used to like waiting several months, almost a year between seasons for any show. And this was like,
or several years in terms of Atlanta.
Yeah, for Atlanta. And this was like just a couple months later. Now we're into season four.
And this is the end, right?
It's the end and it's feeling like early seasons again. It is good. Like
I'm so excited.
That kind of like, you know, standalone, like the anthology episodes, like those kind of one-offs, but there were several.
Yeah, like the ones like about the black and white one about the mixed kid that was passing as white. Yeah.
Not getting as much of that energy this season. It's more like we're back with the crew of four.
Like in season one, when we were kind of, it was almost narrative.
Yeah, yeah. We're back to that, back to those vibes, and it's very good. A couple other quick ones. I've talked about the show a ton, so I didn't put in my criteria for that reason. It gives a couple other shows some space, but Reservation Dogs came back for a second season. Still excellent. Still just as good as season one. Incredible writing, incredible acting. You know, if you haven't checked out Reservation Dogs, what are you waiting for?
I did check it out on your recommendation and watched more than two episodes. I think I've watched five from the first season. I think I only have like one more. They're just six?
There's eight.
Eight.
But okay. They're short. They're half hours.
Yeah.
And then another show that still, I think, underwatched and underrated is For All Mankind. Season three ended in the recent months, and that was also very, very good. So a couple returning shows that if you're looking for a good binge, Reservation Dogs, For All Mankind, that one's on Apple. Check those out. That's really all, though. So I want to get into our criteria, our best and our faves.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Do you want to go first?
Yes, I will go first. So as we discussed before, I only am going to do like one best and one favorite just because I feel like I haven't watched enough to like really make a good call on that. Except I am really loving the new seasons of Potomac and Salt Lake. Like, yes. But I'm always loving The Housewives for the first two or three episodes of the season and then I hate everyone on them. But anyway, shout out. I went to BravoCon.
Wow.
Yes, everyone. I went to BravoCon. But anyway, my first best show, or my only best show, is The Rehearsal.
I had this in best too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I remember I saw it on your list. I didn't know if it was in best too. Well, then yeah, so let's talk about it. It's just one of the most inventive and weird.
Singular.
And like, I just, I've never seen anything like it. And I literally never knew what to expect. I can't remember the last time I've watched a show that's made me feel that way.
Yeah. And made me feel that way, which was oftentimes very uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable.
Which I think is absolutely why it's in a best and not a favorite. I haven't rewatched it because it made me feel weird a lot of the time, but in a way that only Nathan Fielder can do, I think. Like, it really made you think a lot. So back up a little bit. So if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, let's explain what the show is, we'll try.
Nathan Fielder did Nathan For You. So you might know him from that long-running Comedy Central show where it was kind of like a hybrid scripted. He played a character, but unscripted. He was dealing with real people, helping them with their businesses. Okay. And then he produces How To with John Wilson, which we both really, really love. Mm-hmm. And that has a very specific vibe. Also felt kind of like a one-of-a-kind type show. And now this is his new show. It's called The Rehearsal. And basically the premise is Nathan understands that life is hard. And we all have things that we're nervous about or have anxiety leading up to some event, some conversation, something or other along those lines. So Nathan's idea is, I'm going to help people rehearse for these big life events or these confrontations, conversations that they're going to have. So for instance, in the first episode, there's this guy, and these are real people. He is on a trivia team and he's lied to his trivia teammates about having an advanced degree and he wants to come clean. But he's kind of an awkward guy and, you know, he's nervous about approaching his teammates. So he goes to Nathan and they rehearse. But it's not just like, all right, let's run this conversation a few times. Nathan hires somebody to weasel their way into his friend's life to like kind of pick up on their mannerisms and interview them for like a fake story. And then they play that person. And not only that, he makes like the budget on this must have been wild. He makes a legit to the T, to the stitch on the chair replica of this bar called the Alligator Lounge in Brooklyn, where they have their trivia nights and where the conversation would take place. So it's like a full blown true to life rehearsal. So that alone is like mind blowing. Like, whoa.
Oh, yeah. But wait, then you find out that Nathan Fielder has also rehearsed this rehearsal, like how he's going to like approach this guy and what he's going to say to him. He's rehearsed that. Like, it's just so like, you know, at the end of Men in Black, the world, like it turns out the world is just a marble and like the alien's hand or something. And it just like keeps like zooming out.
Right.
He zooms out like infinitely. And that means that you just never know what the show is going to be because I kind of went into it thinking like, okay, so every episode we're going to rehearse something. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like that. And then it kind of flipped the script in episode two.
Yeah. Cause then like someone doesn't.
Then episode three was, yeah, somebody didn't like do it, but then like Nathan was a part of it. And then he was rehearsing the rehearsals, like it gets so crazy. And
yeah,
it was just really, really well done.
It was really well done. But yeah, because then he becomes part of the experiment where there's this one woman named Angela who is
Angela.
Will go down as the stuff of legends. Can't believe she's a real person, but she is. So her thing was like, I want to rehearse being a parent. So he set up this whole thing where like they would cast kids, but the kids would switch up because you can only have a kid act for so long. But then every couple of days, the kid would advance in age and they get new actors. But then Nathan was like, wait, I might benefit from this. Maybe I should also join this rehearsal as part of a parent and like in this kind of like quasi relationship with Angela. But again, all under the guise of rehearsing. And then at some point it really centers on Nathan and becomes very introspective and very emotional and very like, the dude is clearly grappling with some stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's laid pretty bare. It's like you said before, there's nothing like it that I've ever seen. It was a truly wild, incredibly well done, broke my brain type show.
It's a ride, you guys. So it's on HBO, ride. HBO Max, if you haven't checked it out. And like, just be prepared to like, you're not going to know what you're watching, but just go with it.
Yeah.
Just go with it and be like, I'm just here. I'm with this. And I'm in the car and Nathan Fielder is driving.
You ate feces. You ate the child's feces.
Angela, it was a chocolate bar.
I don't care.
But sometimes I couldn't tell if we were arguing as co-parents or if she was actually mad at me.
Are you aware that eating poo is actually a satanic ritual?
No. Maybe you should make a list for me of all the things that are satanic so that I know when I'm doing something how to avoid them. I'm going to bring home oranges from the grocery store. You're going to be like, that's satanic.
All right, I had one more on my best. Brandy, I fucking love Industry.
I know.
Also on HBO. Oh, this show.
I mean, listen, I feel like I still need to be sold on it. But like, cause, but I know you love it so much, so I do want to try it out because like I believe you and I want to see what this magic is. And you're not obviously not the only person that's saying this. Like a lot of people, like people are like, you know, don't sleep on this show. But like,
yeah,
tell the people what it is and just pitch me a little more. I need a hard sell.
So Industry is about a bunch of postgrads in London. There are some Americans in the mix, but mostly, you know, British folks. They're young. They're the like, you know, mid-20s and they work at this fictional bank in England, in London, called Pierpont something. They work at this big, huge bank. It's like, and it's one of the biggest in the world, right? They have a New York office, all sorts of shit. And they are fucking sharks. It's sex, drugs, and like stock trades. And the season one is like, you're kind of getting to know it's like vibes, like a lot of vibes, right? And it's great. And I loved it. And then season two, like drilled down and felt more like a cohesive show, like the writing, top-notch. The acting, top-notch. It's thrilling as fuck. I don't understand half of what they're saying because it takes place in the financial industry. Doesn't even matter. Does not matter because the way it's paced, the way it's shot, the way it looks and sounds and feels, like the emotions are there. I'm feeling what they want me to be feeling. And most of the time that feeling is like absolutely thrilling. Like it's so good. It's so exciting. Jaw drop on the floor twists and developments. And yeah, it's just a fucking riot. Industry, best show of the last couple months, hands down.
Okay. I mean, I asked you for a sell and you just sold it, Dan. Sold.
Are you in?
Yeah, I think I might be in.
It only takes the pilot, truly.
Okay, awesome. All right, so your current best are The Rehearsal and Industry, and then mine is just The Rehearsal.
Yep, which we share. What's your... Well, I'm going to go. You want me to go first in faves?
Yeah, why don't you go first?
We'll
for
do
your faves.
Boom, boom, boom. All right. So, this first one, we can keep it quick. Although, I think you've seen an episode or two. I don't know how many. My favorite show of the last couple months is She-Hulk on Disney Plus, the Marvel show.
I did. I watched the first episode. I also need a hard sell on this because I watched the first episode and it's like, it was okay. Like, I mean, I felt it was charming. Like, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But like, I wasn't like, I didn't need to come back for the second one. I didn't feel like.
Yeah. Well, in the first episode was very Marvel-y, for lack of a better word. It was like...
Yeah, it's just like, it's like hero origin story 101.
Origin story. Here's the powers. And what's interesting is that episode, the creators actually had written it to be the second to last episode of the season. What they initially wanted was just to dive into this half hour legal sitcom. And that's really what the show is. It's a half hour comedy, like legal... You know, kind of Ally McBeal vibes.
Okay.
That type of thing. And Tatiana Maslany plays She-Hulk. She becomes She-Hulk after an accident with her cousin, Bruce Banner, the Hulk, and blood gets mixed, yada, 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 whatever. She's now a Hulk. And then the whole show is her learning what it means to be both Jen and She-Hulk. So the thing about it is it's very meta. Jen breaks the fourth wall consistently in a very funny way. And then I don't want to spoil it, but the finale is the most self-referential meta thing in Marvel I've ever seen, but it was done expertly and it took the piss out of a lot of the Marvel tropes and like, why does everything need to end with this big fucking fight? And what are my actual stakes in this show? And whose show is this anyway? And like, who's making these decisions? And why does it have to be this way? Like, it's a really interesting take on the current state of Marvel while also being just a really fun, light, not connected to the larger MCU in any huge significant way that you need to know to get into it. And it was great. I had a blast. Every week I looked forward to it. I would watch it as soon as I could. And that's the mark of a favorite show. I fucking loved it.
Well, that's awesome. All right. I mean, maybe I'll go, like, that could be like a plane watch for me.
Did you at least get to the post-credit scene in episode one where they're debating whether Jen is like drunk and she's trying to get Bruce the Hulk to admit whether Captain America has had sex or not, whether he's a virgin or not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe my favorite moment in Marvel TV history. Fucking was so funny.
It's just so sad. Steve Rogers did so much for his country and he never got to experience sex.
Did you see that ass? Like, that ass did not deserve to die a virgin. It's like so sad.
Steve Rogers is not a virgin. He lost his virginity to a girl in 1943 on the USO tour.
Yes, I knew it.
You're not drunk?
Captain America, fuck!
Do you think you love it so much because you are a Marvel fan and maybe that, like, I just wasn't connecting with that part of it?
Might be, yeah. I'm very deep in the Marvel sauce for sure, but I do recognize that a lot of their recent content hasn't been very good. Mm-hmm. And I would put this show in its totality up in like maybe the top three shows that they've done so far, along with probably WandaVision and Loki. I think it's right up there, very different. But I think that's what one of the things that makes it stand out and one of the reasons I liked it so much. Like, it was just very clearly its own thing and mm-hmm. really didn't, I mean, it gave a fuck. Like, there was a lot of, you know, Marvel heads working on the show. So it gave a fuck about the Marvel universe, but like, kind of not really also at the same time in a really refreshing way.
Refreshing is nice.
Refreshing is great. What about you? What's in your favorite?
So my favorite recent show is A League of Their Own.
Yes.
I was like a little nervous about this show because like I love the movie and like I love that movie so much. I've seen it so many times. It's really such a part of my childhood.
Yeah.
That I was a little nervous about them doing a whole series on it. Cause I was like, I mean, it was pretty fine as like, you know, like a 2-hour long movie. Like, what are we getting into in each episode?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, I finally watched it and just really couldn't stop. I just loved how it looked. I didn't really know much about it before starting to watch, except that Abby from Broad City was in it and like writing it and like doing it.
Yeah.
And so like I trust her. I love Broad City. Like, I knew it was in capable hands.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. I was just like, how are they going to expand the story? And like, they did such a great job. Like, I love all of the characters. Like, I just love that team. I want to be on the team.
Mm-hmm.
I love Carson. I love Greta. Like, I didn't know that it was going to be like such like a really a beautiful like lesbian story.
Yeah. Very gay show. Love that.
Yeah. Like, that was a surprise, but like, I really enjoyed it. Not that I wouldn't have enjoyed it, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I really loved everything about it and I would definitely like watch it again.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the real mark of like a favorite show for me. It's like, I wish that it like would come on TV so that I could like just catch it on the guide. Do you know what I mean? And just be like, oh, I'll tune in.
Yeah.
I love that. I don't feel like the Black story was shoehorned in. Cause at first, like I was like, wait a second. All right. So obviously they're not like, they have to let Max play on the team. Like, what else is she going to do? Like what's going to be her purpose on the show if she's not on the team? And I just love that they really made her just like a whole ass person with a whole ass life. And like it, I like that it like kind of intersected with Carson and the other girls, but like, I loved her story. I loved her fucking friend who I'm forgetting her name, but like her best friend.
Oh yeah. She was good. Yeah.
Was amazing. She drew comics. I love her.
Yeah. It did a couple of things that I think were very difficult to do. One, it made Nick Offerman a dislikable character. Tough to do.
Oh, I know, right? I was so glad when he was gone.
Fuck that guy. To your point, like, I was nervous. Like, how was it going to contend with, like, just the iconic moments of the original? And it did it in a very smart way where there was a no crying in baseball scene, but it's not the way you think. There was a she likes the high ones comment, but it's not the way you think, right? So they kind of like put in and give nod to all the things that we're like knowing and expecting and waiting for, but in their own way. And then, yeah, like it just gave me a warm, fuzzy feeling. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's one of
right?
those. Like, it just made me feel nice and it made me smile and it made me feel happy. And I watched it all in like two nights. Like, it was that sort of show for me too. Great show.
Yeah.
Awesome favorite. That's a great favorite pick.
We can't practice for 2 hours a day and win when the Blue Sox are practicing for 6 hours a day.
Don't worry about it. I have everything under control. Coach, sugar cream. Made it myself. It's not my finest, but I just wanted to give you a token of our appreciation.
Thank you, Shaw. My ex-wife used to make me pies. This one reminds me of her complexion.
Oh.
Understandably, I'm more of what you would call a muffin man. In any case, we'll pass this around later.
Okay.
Right now, we're practicing our sport.
About the baseball practice, I would love to talk more.
Wow.
A pie?
A pie.
All right, I was going to give it to him, and then we would get to chatting, and then I could casually suggest, you know, practicing cutoffs and rundowns and practicing more in general, and then maybe, just maybe, we could get a goddamn game under our belt, a win.
Okay, see, now that actually sounds good. You should just say that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just waiting for the right time. And me, clearly he prefers muffins. So.
Muffins?
What's your next favorite?
This one also kind of gave me a warm, fuzzy feeling in a slightly different way. It also really resonated because I was watching it right before and then right after a trip I took to the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a show called Welcome to Wrexham. It's about Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds buying the football club in Wales. And for a documentary series, it's on FX. It's a documentary series. Brandy, there are 18 episodes of this documentary series.
What?
And it doesn't feel like too much. One, it spans an incredible amount of time. Like pre-COVID, they bought this team. So like they cover a lot of ground. But they also, like, it's really not about Rob and Ryan, like the celebrities. It is, but the focus is on the town. This town of Wrexham in Wales. And they cast really, really well to find like five or six really like core characters that you really fall in love with. And it's just, you know, like, small town, UK, comes together. It just has that, like, it's like classic sports documentary, like the communities behind the team.
How much are they in it?
They're in it every episode. They are. But somehow they're not the focus. They're a focus, but not the focus. I think Rob a little bit more than Ryan. I think he was more of the driver. And he even says in the beginning, he's like, I really didn't know Ryan Reynolds outside of like Instagram messages. And I'm like... I think he'll probably have enough money to make this happen with the gin and the commercials plus the movies. So it's kind of funny. Like you see their relationship kind of blossom as well. But then like even towards the end, like they have like Liz Plank on to talk about like what a bromance actually is and why they are the way they are and male friendship in general. Like there's a lot of layers. There's one whole episode that's just like time to learn about Wales. And they're just kind of like presenting topics about the country. And it's like, it was just really another refreshing type of show for me that I was just like, I wasn't expecting it. I was looking forward to it. I mentioned on a previous podcast, one of these, like it was one of my future shows, but yeah, really liked it. Ended very strong. It felt, you know, like a, you know, 30 for 35 almost like you're rooting for the team. You get to know the players. It's the whole thing, like almost like a real life Ted Lasso type vibe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wait, so what's that on?
It's on FX. So you can watch it on Hulu.
On Hulu. Okay.
Yeah.
30 minutes, hours?
30 minutes. I had a weird release where they would do like, towards the end, they were airing like 3 episodes a week. And then like 2 would be a half hour, then 1 would be an hour. It's kind of like runtime episode number agnostic. They're just like, we have this story to tell. Here's the shape it's going to take. Get on board. It is what it is.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, cool. I want to check that out.
All right. So that, you know what? Listen, we didn't watch as many shows as we normally do, but we still... watched a shitload, as is our want, right? Even your lower lift is still more than probably a lot of people out there. So we're still bringing good recs. We're bringing great shows. There's a lot of good shit out there. And we named just a handful of the many, many shows that are out and are really good. I mean, like, I'm just looking at my list, like, did not mention Rap Shit. Liked it a lot.
Oh, yeah. I like that a lot, too.
Yeah. Everything's Trash. I didn't like as much, but I thought it was good.
Mm-hmm.
The Patient, I'm halfway through, and I think is really good. Like, there's just a lot of good shit out there, you know?
Well, what are you looking forward to? What's in your future, Dan?
Okay. I got 2 future shows. One, it's addressing a glaring hole in this conversation. If you know me and you know my nerd leanings. I have not mentioned the big Star Wars show that's on right now. It's called Andor. It's currently airing. By all accounts, it's the best Star Wars show they've ever done. including The Mandalorian.
Wow.
It's maybe the best Star Wars in recent history. The reviews are out of this world. I just saw on Christian Bondo, a former guest, he's just like, this is my favorite show on TV right now, full stop. Star Wars or not. Like, it's just apparently very, very good. I have not watched one episode. Again, a lot of travel, busy couple months at work. So this is one that while it is airing now, it's still airing for another couple months. It's technically in my future. So that's one of my future picks. I cannot wait to dive into Andor. I think I'm going to be really, really happy.
Okay. When I saw that on your list, I was like, I don't even know what that is.
It's based on a character named Cassian Andor. He was a character in the movie Rogue One, which you may have heard of, like one of the standalone Star Wars movies.
Mm-hmm. I did see that. I saw it.
So the guy, Tony Gilroy, who was a big creative force behind Rogue One, he's doing the show. He's showrunning the show.
Oh, okay.
So, and he's done a lot of other non-Star Wars really good shit as well. So
I did know that, but I guess I wasn't connecting what that product that he was doing is this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I remember reading about him doing this now that you say it.
Yeah. I'm incredibly pumped. It might actually start tonight after we get done with this. Now that I'm like,
you're pumped. You're ready to go.
Like, I'm really, really excited. I'm so fucking pumped. I have one more, but I want to throw it back to you. What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to a few shows. I think that they all actually start relatively soon. So, and one of them may have already started. But they are in my future, as you were saying. Wednesday, which is going to be on Netflix, and it's about Wednesday Addams. It's the new way to do the Addams. It's their new way of doing the Addams Family.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, Addams Family and Addams Family Values, two of my all-time favorite movies. Like, if they're ever
no
on,
shit.
I feel like I will watch them. Yeah, like, they're just, like, they're low-key, like, two of my, like, I will always watch Addams Family Values if it's on. I feel like Addams Family proper isn't on as much, but I do. I like both of those movies. I'm really looking forward to Wednesday. It's going to be on Netflix. It's starring Jenna Ortega. You may remember her from the newest Scream, which if you haven't seen it, it actually was pretty good. Like, very.
I haven't seen it.
Very meta. It was good. It clicked all the nostalgia buttons I needed it to. But anyway, so Wednesday is going to be, I don't know, it just looks really fun. It's a look at the Addams Family through Wednesday Addams, who, as we will all remember, was played by Christina Ricci, who definitely has a cameo like in the show. I think she plays like a teacher or something.
Fuck yeah.
So that's exciting. I'm also really looking forward to watching, I think it's been out, but Reboot, which is by one of the guys that did Modern Family, but it's like Rachel Bloom is in it, Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah.
It's like about like a sitcom that was like popular in the 90s or in the 80s or something. And like they're redoing it and everybody like the getting the game back together.
Yeah.
And it looks hilarious. I think it's on Hulu.
It does look good. That's one that I've missed as well, but is on the list of like, as soon as time opens up, like I want to binge that. Yeah, because it's Rachel Bloom, Judy Greer's in it, Johnny Knoxville's
Judy
in
Greer.
It. Like, it's got a wild cast. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I also am really looking forward to Inside Amy Schumer coming back on Paramount Plus. Like, I got Paramount Plus.
Yeah. For Inside Amy Schumer.
I mean, not technically, more for Paw Patrol, but Inside Amy Schumer is like a huge plus.
Right, exactly. Inside Amy Schumer and Challenge reruns, you know?
Yeah, no, like it's like huge plus. But yeah, like I thought Inside Amy Schumer was just like one of the funniest shows. Like she just really hits the nail on the head with like a lot of her sketches and her commentary. And I'm looking forward to having that back in my life.
Yeah. I also, a couple of the returning things I'm looking forward to having back in my life. White Lotus comes back.
Yes.
That's a big
very
one.
Very excited about that.
Z-Way comes back in early November. That's always exciting. Speaking of Rob McElhenney, his show, Mythic Quest, its third season comes back in early November. So those are some good ones. But the biggest returning show in my second future pick is The Crown season 5 coming back in mid-November.
Where are we? Where are we in season 5? What era of royal family are we?
Diana is with Charles and she is very unhappy. So season 5 will be the demise of Princess Diana. So it's a big one.
Oh my God. Oh,
it's a big one.
Like she's got like it'll go up to her dying.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so,
I know. And
that's,
I think,
so sad.
And listen, the monarchy is bullshit in a lot of ways, including the influence that it had on Diana's death and the reaction to and all of those things. And it's not a great institution, but I'm also an Anglophile and I also get a kick out of that shit. We are complicated people. We can hold two conflicting ideas in our heads at the same time. And these are two conflicting ideas that I hold in my head at the same time. So I am looking forward to The Crown. Like I said, I just got back from a trip to London. So like I'm full British obsessed right now. So I'm really looking forward to that show.
I haven't seen any of The Crown. Not that I wouldn't, I feel like I would probably enjoy it. I like am neither here nor there on the English monarchy, but like I do really enjoy anything about like 1500s England, like Henry VIII and that whole crew, then you know, Queen Elizabeth I.
Did you watch The Tudors when it was on?
I tried watching The Tudors. It was too much. I'd rather reading like Wolf Hall or Philippa Gregory. Is kind of how I get my fix.
You know what's a good one? Victoria was pretty good. I think that was like a masterpiece show, like a PBS masterpiece. It was about Queen Victoria, like the original Queen Victoria.
Yeah, yeah.
Like young Victoria. That was pretty damn good.
Okay.
If you're looking for that old school English shit. But so lots to look forward to.
Yes.
The TV onslaught will not stop. We'll be back again, you know, every week through the end of the year with new episodes, new guests, new fun things. Before you know it, it'll be the end of the year and we'll do our end of year criteria. And we'll see what, if any of these shows show up on that. I don't know.
I can't believe it's going to be the end of the year soon. That's insane. Like, I don't know. Wasn't it like just January?
Yeah, no, it was.
But yeah, so I think that is a wrap for TV BFFs today. But if you guys would please like us, rate us, review us, and follow us on Instagram at TVBFFpodcast or email us at tvbffpodcast@gmail.com with your six, because we want to know what are your best favorite and forever shows.
That's right. You know, what's your core criteria? What's your recent BFFs? Best fave forever across the board? Let us know. And until next time, bye, friends.
Bye, friends.